This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Voters in Portage will elect a mayor and three members to the city council on November 3rd. All of the candidates participated in a forum last week sponsored by the Kalamazoo Gazette. Incumbent Mayor Pete Strazdas is running unopposed for re-election. Five candidates are running for the three seats on the city council. Incumbents Richard Ford, Patricia Randall, and Jim Pearson are seeking four-year terms. The challengers are Jeff Bright and Tim Earle, who had to be out of town and participated in the forum via a video hookup. Today we bring you that forum in a special West Southwest. It was held at the Portage District Library on Wednesday and began with opening statements.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Peter Strazdas, and I'm running for mayor of the city of Portage. First of all, I want to thank Mickey and the editorial board, certainly the other professionals that are here today from the news media. You do a great job, and I want to thank you for taking your time to get the word out about the candidates. I've been mayor for 10 years, five terms of running for sixth term. I've been on the council for one term. That's 14 years elected official. I've been engaged in the city of Portage for nearly 30 years as a public servant doing a variety of things. I believe that this is a good time to continue to be engaged in local elected official politics. It's a good time because I've seen the full spectrum of things happening from the time I started in local government, where on the Planning Commission, we were meeting twice a week for Planning Commission efforts, to the point where today we went through a recession to now we're getting out of recession. It's a great time to see the city, to make sure the city is actually moving forward in the right direction. And I'm very pleased to again run again, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Bright.
Well, I'd like to thank the Kalamazoo Gazette for inviting me this evening. And I've lived in Portage for 22 years, and my business has been in Portage for 13 years. And the reason I'm running is I just want to give back to the community. I love Portage. I bring the skills of a certified financial planner and also a small business owner to the Portage City Council. And I really believe a healthy, growing economy that provides good jobs is one of the top priorities for this next council. It's also important to keep taxes low and continue to provide high quality of services. Road repair and beautiful parks are also important. And I also think that a strong police and fire department are very important as well. I think also we should keep paying down debt and improve our bond rating. So I ask you to vote for a brighter Portage. Vote for me, Jeff Bright. Thanks.
Thank you. Next, we're going to turn to Tim Earle via our video hookup.
I'm running because I'm worried about the direction the council has been headed these past 2 years under the current four-member majority, three of whom are up for re-election. They're trying to fix a city that's not broken. Compare Portage to other cities in Michigan, and you'll see that it's been well-managed over the years. Yet incumbents are pushing through an agenda that includes radical changes without taking the time to consider the options and potential unintended consequences. One of them even publicly disparaged our city employees and accused them of dishonesty and corruption, a charge not backed up by facts. They seem to want to tear down City Hall and rebuild it to match their agenda. If I'm elected, I'll bring to this council the measured and thoughtful approach I take to my work with building codes and that I took while serving as chief engineer of a Navy destroyer. Change is inevitable, but it's how we implement change determines success or failure. I want to make sure we keep Portage on a path towards continued prosperity for decades to come. Thank you.
Thank you. And next, we will have Mr. Ford.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the MLive editorial board and the Gazette for hosting this event. My name is Richard Ford. I'm a 34-year-old attorney here in the city of Portage. I moved here about 6 years ago. I've been serving on council for 2 years. And my main motivation for running is my almost two-year-old son, and I want to make sure that Portage is preserved for his generation. We have excellent public services, public safety, parks. The city is a very fiscally responsible city, and I want to continue that. We've done some great things over the past 2 years. We have returned the senior citizen water discount. We have expanded the summer park series. We have brought the kayaks back. And we've done all of these things in addition to live streaming, bringing single stream recycling to the city, and increasing services to the city in general. And one of the big things is we've been able to do this while also generating a budget surplus of roughly $3.7 million. So I'd ask that the residents consider voting for me due to the financial management of the city, and I look forward to your vote on November 3rd. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Pearson?
I'm Jim Pearson. You just heard from Rich Ford about all the good things that have been happening in the last year and a half, and there's a difference of opinion, and when you have a motivated staff, you get things done. So I'll leave it at that. I won't add to it that things that are going well with the parks, with IT improvements, and recycling, et cetera. I'm running because I've been involved in the city for over 20 years. I've been chairman of the Zoning Board of Appeals, like Jeff. I've served on the Planning Commission, like the mayor. I was elected to City Council in 2011. 2 years later, I was elected to the mayor pro tem, where I share leadership responsibility with the mayor. Also, as mayor pro tem, I'm involved, and this is a plus for me, in a lot of countywide cooperation of things. I'm on the bodies for the transit, the body for central dispatch, and it's important that now that Portage is involved more in the county, we have experienced leaders that are at the table with our countywide elected officials. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Randall.
Hi, I'm Patricia Randall. I am running for re-election. I first ran in 2009 as an advocate for change. I want to thank everyone for taking the time out of their evening to attend this evening. I ran with three things in mind: creating fair and uniform property assessments, opening the government and having more transparency within City Hall, and improving our customer service. And I think I have delivered on all three of those. For those of you that have followed the council, you know I have not done this alone, and you know it has not been an easy road. Today, City Hall is open for business, welcoming citizen input, and improving our processes and systems to better serve our customers. Morale is at an all-time high as employees are openly offering suggestions for improvements, and technology once feared is now embraced. I am running for re-election because I am very proud of the direction that this city is going, and I would like to be part of the process that takes Portage from good to great. Thanks.
Thank you.
After opening statements, the candidate forum moved on to questions for the candidates. They were asked by Kalamazoo Gazette editor and forum moderator Makisha Kylo.
And for our first question, we're going to—I'm going to start in the next row down. So, Mr. Bright, you'll go first, and you have 90 seconds to answer these next couple of questions. The first question is this: what is the single biggest issue facing the city of Portage, and how would you address it, Mr. Bright?
I would say the single biggest issue is jobs and a good, sound economy, because when we have good jobs in Portage, we have an expanding tax base, and we can pay down our debt, and we can provide great services. And one of the ways I would recommend doing that is being very business-friendly. I'm a business person. I have 8 employees. I know how business people think. One of the things that I've been able to do on the Zoning Board of Appeals is grant some sound zoning variances that help businesses expand and help create new jobs in the city. And no one was hurt in the process. So I would say economic growth is number one for me.
Thank you. Mr. Earle, we're going to turn to you next. Again, the question is, what is the single biggest issue facing the city of Portage, and how would you address it?
I think the single biggest issue right now is we're seeing some brain drain among city employees right now. I think I've talked to many city employees, some former ones and current ones, and they feel that recently the council has been meddling in their affairs more than they're supposed to in our system, our city manager style system of government. And then they brought in a city manager that doesn't respect them, particularly doesn't respect women, but doesn't respect the city employees. And so by my count, we lost, not counting the old city manager, 8 senior city employees since the new city manager took over. And it creates an environment where it's hard to attract good talent. It used to be, if you were a civil servant, Portage was the place you wanted to be. People were always applying to come to the city of Portage. Now it's getting very hard to recruit people. Our city assessor's office, they're so afraid that their entire department is going to be eliminated that nearly all of them have left for other jobs, and we're having trouble finding good candidates. So I think we need to change that attitude, let them know that they're respected, so we can continue to recruit good candidates. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ford.
I think the biggest issue facing the city is our infrastructure. Like most of the state, our roads are in poor shape. You might not see it on the major streets due to the fact that we do have a major streets millage, but some of our local streets are beyond their estimated life and in need of some repair. We have a fire station that's scheduled for a renovation, addition, or teardown and rebuild. We have a water tower that's scheduled for a rebuild in Haverhill. And so these capital expenditures are going to be increasing as the city moves along and the city ages, and we need to be well prepared financially to make sure that these capital improvement projects can occur so that Portage can prosper for years to come. And that's what I feel is the biggest issue facing the city. I mean, we are much better than some other municipalities, but to continue to push forward, we need to be prepared financially. We've been very, very fortunate to have great financial management for the past 30, 50 years since Portage became a city, but that needs to continue for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Pearson.
Thanks for that question. Obviously, jobs and economic growth. Things are picking up. We have a new development going in manufacturing next to the Air Zoo. We have a large housing development going in on Millom and 131. Actually, the city council had a meeting, kind of a retreat, and what we asked city staff to do is list the parcels that we have for development. We are going in an upswing. We want to be prepared. We want to be developer-friendly. We want them to come to Portage. Also, I've been on the Planning Commission, and we did a lot of work on the city center planning. We did that about 6 years ago. It hasn't been developed. I know how that it works. I know what we gave city council permission to do, and I'm all set now that I'm on council to run with that city center plan as the economy picks up. Also, we had a windfall from the city manager who said, we've got $3.7 million, guys. What do you want us to do with it? I've never seen that in 4 years on my term on the city council. It's nice to have an efficient city manager that can say that. Council is saying we are going to fix some roads. Council is saying we're going to pay down debt. Council is saying we want to be attractive. We want to get our rating up to AAA, and so we're going to use for money for that. And fortunately, we had some money to pay for a fire truck that was in an accident that we have to replace it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Randall.
What I see is the largest problem going forward, or the greatest concern, is maintaining a high level of service without continued growth. Portage is going to be an aging city. We are 52 years old. We will not see the growth in revenue through tax dollars because we don't have the land to build on any longer. There are approximately 500 acres of undeveloped land in Portage. We have a key property, which is 248 acres, which is zoned for industrial. We need to develop this to the maximum capacity to generate new tax dollars. Our infrastructure is aging. We see it in our neighborhood roads. We see it in our water and sewer lines. We will have to think differently and smarter to be able to provide the services that everyone has enjoyed and deserves. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Strazdas.
Thank you. I believe the biggest challenge moving forward in the next couple of years is actually maintaining our core values as a city. Those values, I think, which made Portage a great city 52 years ago, those values that gave us those things such as a very conservative management style. And yes, those conservative values that happened during the recession several years ago, over a city manager ago, we put in place, and we're seeing the benefits of a $3.7 million surplus, not deficit, surplus. The value of a low millage rate that we've had consistently of cities our size in the state of Michigan year after year, decade after decade, that's a value that we want to maintain. Customer service results have been consistently high for the last 20 years. We've been doing the customer service survey over and over again. That is the message that we want to get from our citizens, and that's how we're delivering it decade after decade. It's a safe city. Take a look at our police results. Those values we need to maintain. Perhaps most importantly is we believe this is a great community to raise a family, a great community to go to school, a great community to go to church. Those values need to be maintained, and of course, city government has something to do with those things. Furthermore, we have no legacy debt, unfunded legacy debt. Our capital approval reduction plan's been going on for two city managers right now, and hope someday we'll be debt-free. Figure that one out, debt-free city someday. And certainly, taking advantage of refinancing when there's an opportunity. We've been refinancing debt now for years, and of course, now we're doing that again. You'll see that next week coming up at the council meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. For our next question, we're going to turn to Mr. Earle first. Mr. Earle, the question is this. The city may outsource its assessing services, going from a city department to a private company. Do you favor such a move?
From what I've seen so far, no. That doesn't mean I couldn't be convinced, but if we have a system that works, the burden of proof is on the people who want to change that system. They need to show us that it's going to work as good or better for the same amount of money or less in order to justify the change. I haven't seen that. I've talked to realtors. They are not happy with this. They like being able to go to City Hall and deal with these issues and not deal with an outside company. I think quality of service would probably go down if our citizens can't bring their issues to City Hall. They have to deal with a company somewhere else. It's maybe not as invested in our community. And I'm not convinced the cost savings is there. Our charter specifies that we have a city assessor. So we can't even do this without changing the city charter. So that would have to happen first. But right now, I'm against it.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ford?
Council was aware that a proposal was put out to outsource assessing, but we have seen nothing as a result of that. So I can't comment on what outsourcing can do for Portage quite yet because we just don't know the facts. What we do know is the city of Kalamazoo is using an outsourced assessor. And we do know that our charter requires a city employee as an assessor. And whether there's some way we can make a hybrid of those services such that we can offer a reduced cost to our residents and a low tax rate, you know, I'm definitely in support of something along those lines. I think the assessing function was typically a very, very, very personnel-driven function. We have technology nowadays where I can look up and see the footprint of my house online, along with the taxes I've paid the past few years. And so we have this technology that's advancing, and it's advancing this office to the point where now we need to look at some other things. The Michigan legislature, the personal property tax was removed. So now a percentage of the work that was done by the assessor's office is now no longer necessary to be performed. And so we really need to look at where we can make savings and where can we provide good service to the citizens. And whether outsourcing is the option or some other model, I want to see the facts before I make any decision. But at this point in time, I've seen it work in other municipalities, and I think the technology is advancing where we can make some efficiencies in the assessor's office. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Pearson.
Well, the first thing I want to address is the charter issue. Our charter was written over 50 years ago. Some city charters mandated to have an assessor, some didn't. Ours happened to. Our charter also mandated that we have a separate police chief and a separate fire chief. Well, we don't have that anymore. So the administration is taking a look at our charter. Now, we don't want to change the charter that requires a lot of signatures going around, and it's not worth it. So the city manager is investigating options for the assessor. It's in our charter. It's actually, we're stuck with it from something from over 50 years ago. Other cities like Kalamazoo, they're not stuck with it. That's why they can outsource. Now, let's get to what we should do. We have a city manager that has over 20 years of assessing experience. He hasn't made a decision or a recommendation to council yet. We look forward to that. He has found some waste. We were doing drive-by assessing, which doesn't really change values, which took two different employees 2 months, and the city manager, as an experienced assessor, said that's a waste of time. That office can be doing different things. There are many options. We can totally outsource assessing. We can keep our counter staff. The key is bringing a level four assessor, and there's not that much that, they certify the tax rolls, but they need to take a look at big industrial complexes, and sometimes outsourcing that function to someone who does those large industrial evaluations make sense. So we're waiting to see what the city manager recommends. I see nothing yet, and I'm waiting to hear before I support anything. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Randall?
I applaud any decision that improves the level of service, and if outsourcing is that route for assessing, then I applaud it. Other communities are doing it. The word outsourcing was never even heard of 52 years ago when our city became a city. There's no question that there's inequities and unfairness in our residential, commercial, and industrial tax rolls. That has been proven time and time again. Our new city manager agrees with that. You can call the county treasurer. The MTT refunds by Portage far exceed other areas. Those are just indicators that some things aren't exactly right. So you know, I'm totally in favor of looking at other ways to do things. Technology has improved the systems. We can have a person at the desk, and they can answer questions. And level of service does not have to go down. In a memo to council, our city manager, who is also a licensed assessor, said services will dramatically improve if we outsource. So here again, it hasn't been fully vetted by council. We don't know what the costs are. But I would applaud any decision that saves taxpayer money and improves service. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Strastis?
Thank you. The city of Portage has several of the outsourcing activities. The entire water department, sanitary department was outsourced almost 20 years ago. And I believe at that time it passed a litmus test, that it would save money, and it did, $1 million a year, and did it improve service? I guess the citizens can tell you whether it did or didn't. So, as far as I'm concerned, for me, it has to pass those two litmus tests. We haven't seen anything yet, okay? And so I'm keeping an open mind, but again, it has to be something that's going to be saving us, saving you, taxpayers' money. It's going to improve your service. And if it doesn't do either one of those, I would not be in favor of it. And if it does move forward, obviously we need to be respectful. There are people involved, human beings involved, okay? And I think we need to be respectful if there is anything to be involved with that type of outsourcing. But we're not even there yet. We don't have any data yet. A lot of innuendos, a lot of statements, no facts. So I think it's important for the council and the citizens to get the facts so we can then weigh in collectively as citizenry and as council members to determine, again, my perspective, do we pass those two tests or not? Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bright.
I do think there's two things that have to be addressed. First, one, can we do it legally through the charter we have? And two, will it save money and provide better service? And I agree with Mayor Strazes. If it does both those, then it should certainly be looked at. But I will say that the assessing department that we have had, I think, is a pretty good one, to be honest with you. Now, the city assessor is retiring tomorrow after 17 years of service, and the department's going to go down to two people. You know, obviously, I don't think they can run that department on two people, and they're going to have to do something. And I hope that that the council makes a decision based on what's best for Portage, not because our back is against the wall and they have a department that only has two people in it. My understanding is the city of Kalamazoo had a mass retirement, and they didn't have anybody in the assessing department, so that was one of the reasons they had to outsource. I don't think Portage should outsource because they have to, but if it is a good idea, then we could look at it. So, I don't think we should just stop there. If outsourcing is a good idea, it can be used at other departments, as Mayor Straz has said, the water department. There's other departments that can be done as well. And the assessing department is not that expensive of a department. If we're going to outsource, why don't we look at the more expensive departments to do that with? Thanks.
Thank you.
Can I have 15 seconds on something that wasn't brought up? Very, very quickly, is a fact.
No, Jim, no. Your name was not invoked, so there. You have 90 seconds on other answers. If you want to try to squeeze in something during your next time or during closing.
I just want to say the city manager is interviewing people for assessment positions, and that didn't come out.
We'll start next with Mr. Ford. The question is this. City leadership has experienced quite a bit of turnover within the past few years. In your view, what is the state of morale among city workers, and what would you do to improve it if needed?
Sure. The employees I talked to have all been thrilled. Unfortunately, we had some retirements, individuals who are definitely over the age of 60, definitely in a senior position, have spent a lot of time with the city. Turnover and attrition happen in every organization around the world, and it's no different to expect Portage to have it any different. I mean, we don't guarantee jobs, but, you know, it happens, and I think we've had new directors come in. Our finance director, Bill Furry, has done a great job. Our new parks director, Kendall Klingelsmith, has done a great job. We have these people that are more youthful, coming into roles with a lot of passion and a lot of ideas, and we're seeing some of those ideas produced in the city today. I feel that the morale of the employees I talk to is good. I was at the event the other night and spoke to many of them in person. One of my retreat topics from last year was an employee engagement survey. You know, let's see what the employees have to say. And a blind survey through SurveyMonkey or something like that with results to council really shows us where we stand and where the city manager stands with his leadership. So that's something that I would support and a suggestion to see where the morale is in the city. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Pearson.
Well, you can judge morale very easily, and that's by productivity and new ideas from your employees. If morale is low, you're not going to get that. If morale is high, you're going to get new ideas and new things coming in. So let's take a look at the new things that have come in the last year and a half. The IT department is energized. We now have Portage Alert, the computer system, alerting people by phone. We now have an e-agenda that's going to start next month. It's been rolled out with the staff. That's going to save thousands of dollars in paper costs. And believe me, City Council gets tons and tons of paper every year. The Parks Department, they're expanding. There's a new director, kayaks, canoes, coming back with concerts. City Hall is now cooperating with other entities, the Portage Public Schools, the Public Library. On this Sunday, there will be a farmer's market where we have collaboration between the City Senior Center and the library hosting that. That's good. And the Environmental Board, our citizens that have been pushing for single-stream recycling for 6 years, and it's always been poo-pooed by the last administration. The new administrator came in and said, why don't we have this like other communities? It's less cost. It keeps down the wear and tear in our streets and pollution by having less trucks, and it's estimated that we'll have an increase of 40% in recycling. So morale is up because productivity and new ideas have been coming through staff in the last year and a half.
Thank you. Ms. Randall.
Change is hard for some, but change is inevitable. And our organization is changing. The people that did leave were 30-year-plus employees that were in their early 60s. Every one of them has come back to the new person that has been appointed or hired and offered their support. There are no ill will or hard feelings. It's just what it is. Many of these people had put in for retirements prior to the new manager taking over. Our IT person said that this has been the best 2 years of his career. The feedback that I'm getting from employees is very high. First time since 3 months after I was elected, staff is now able to communicate with council and us with them. There is a give and take of ideas. People are energized. We held a CIP forum two nights ago, or last night, I can't even remember. They were expecting 12 citizens. The parking lot was packed. So obviously citizens feel that this is a more open and receptive place to come. They've had the same type of thing in the past where they've had three people show up. So it was run by staff, not the manager. He is a great mentor. He is helping people help themselves and improve their departments. And I applaud what is going on. And everything that I have seen has been very positive. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Strauss.
We've seen change every time we've had a new city manager. And, of course, when you have a new leader, some people like it and some people don't, any large organization. Maybe if MLive could experience that, okay? Point being is that when there is a new leader, some people are not happy and some people are very happy. It's change, okay? And that also happened when Maurice came on board and happened again with the city manager. So are there some people happy? Yes. Are there some people a little concerned? Yes. Some people upset? Yes, like any organization. But I do believe that we need to be respectful of all of our employees. We need to make sure that their thoughts and feelings are out there. They have an environment where they can express concerns, an environment where if they're still concerned about something going on, they can express that without any form of retribution of any city manager. So I think it's important that, again, we're respectful. It's important that we understand with change there's going to be good and bad with that amongst all employees. And I'll just leave it there.
Thank you. Mr. Bright?
I've been on the Zoning Board of Appeals for 4 years, and so I don't know all the departments, I'll be honest with you. But of the departments I've dealt with, I've found the people at Portage to be pretty hardworking, pretty helpful, and that's a good thing. And hopefully most citizens feel the same way when they go to City Hall and they have to have something taken care of. So, you know, I can't speak to all the issues, and I know there's been different city managers, and some have been maybe run things a little bit differently. So you know, that is certainly the job for the city manager. That's the person that they report to, and then the city manager reports to the city council. So if they're a good city manager, I would assume and would hope and I would think that morale would be good. But I can't speak to that a lot because I'm not in every department. But I have seen, over 4 years, I've seen pretty good morale.
Thank you. Mr. Earle, did you hear the question?
I did indeed. So I'll start by saying Mr. Pearson mentioned a lot of new ideas being brought in. A lot of those weren't actually new. The foundation for those systems was laid long ago. So I wouldn't call them new ideas. Second, it's hard to make an absolute statement about morale. When I talk to the fire service guys, that's my day job. I talk to them sometimes. They're pretty happy over there, understandably. They get a lot of support. But you go across the street to City Hall, and it's a different story. I can tell you absolutely the female employees I've talked to are absolutely not happy that nothing was done when the city manager had a complaint filed against him. It sent a clear signal that he was untouchable. And I've talked to many of the female employees in the city, and that's what I hear from them. I haven't heard any good things from any of them that I've talked to. In general, I think morale is definitely low. What can we do about it? Well, we need to stop the micromanagement that some members of council have taken part in. I think Rich was onto something. We do need to survey the employees. It should be done by a third party, make sure it's anonymous, so there's no retaliation. We may have to step in and give a little more direction to the city manager, rein him in a little bit in his interactions with employees, and implement a system for anonymous feedback so employees can bring their concerns up. It'd have to be to council, so without fear of retaliation. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listening to West Southwest on WMUK. Today we are featuring a forum sponsored by the Kalamazoo Gazette for candidates running for Portage City Council and Mayor. We'll have more after a short break. Listening to WMUK's West Southwest and a forum for candidates running for mayor and city council in Portage. It was sponsored by the Kalamazoo Gazette and held on Wednesday at the Portage District Library. Kalamazoo Gazette editor Mickey Shikilo was moderator and continues with questions for the candidates.
For the next question, we will go to Mr. Pearson first. In the area of intergovernmental cooperation, strides have been made in recent years in the areas of emergency dispatch, mass transit, cable access. Are there any other services that you would like to see the City of Portage work more closely with the City of Kalamazoo and other governments on in the next few years?
Well, let me take that. First of all, I'm the only elected official in the county that's working on the transit and the 9/11, so I'm familiar with both of those. It takes a long time to get those things going. It's going to take 9/11 dispatch. That's a process that it won't be online for another 2.5 years. I just chaired the committee looking for the executive director. We have an offer out depending upon a background search. When that director comes in, that's going to take a year working with our body to get that going. We funded the transit for 5 years, and the reason why we did it for 5 years instead of 3 years, and I was on the committee that decided that, is that we wanted our executive director to have 3.5 years to get this thing going and not worry about funding. So those two things are going to take up a lot of their time. Of course, there are things we can do. Purchasing, maybe we should buy our all paper from the same thing. But those two major things have taken more than a decade to get going. And what we want to see are those two things being very successful before we start taking a look at other areas of cooperation. There will be other areas of cooperation, but we have to make sure we're doing these two really nicely. And actually, it's working out out very, very well. All the jurisdictions are contributing on the different areas, hiring a lawyer, hiring an employee, taking a look at insurance and things like that. All the jurisdictions are pitching in. So it's a good thing. Things are working, and I hope to continue cooperation.
Thank you. Ms. Randall?
I am all about cooperation and consolidation. I used to think it was just a buzzword that everybody was using, like transparency and that type of thing, but it has really gone into effect with our 911 and the county transit. And I think there are many ways that we can improve upon this. The mayor said that the Planning Commission used to meet twice a week. Well, guess what? We don't do that anymore because we don't have the new builds. Why not have an inspector for plumbing countywide or electrical or anything like that? Why do we each need to have these expertises? Economies of scale must be able to be achieved through purchasing. If we have other entities all buying the same thing, the quantity should be cheaper for everyone, or the price per unit should be cheaper for everyone. The third thing is we do have a county treasurer, but yet we have our own treasurer department. As a parent that has paid for more tuition than I care to remember, none of my checks ever went to the school that my children attended. They were always going to some center in Texas or wherever. Well, guess what? That saves money. So I think we need to look at each and every department and really see ways that we can combine with other units in the county to deliver services to our citizens. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Strastis.
The 40-year fight between Portage and Kalamazoo ended 10 years ago. Ended 10 years ago when the new mayor of Kalamazoo, new city manager, the new mayor of Portage, the new city manager, all four came on board. Look at the front page of the Kalamazoo Gazette that year, why things happened. And it's been a 10-year period of time, ladies and gentlemen, of actually working the relationships. I want to commend those involved with the most recent successes, but success does not happen overnight. It took 10 years of collaboration, 10 years of working with people, 10 years of trust between those individuals and leaders in the townships, the county, the two cities. And that trust has been really melded to quite well of late that actually made some of these great things happen of late. Now, where should we be going for more opportunities? Yeah, you can buy paper clips together, and I would applaud those that would want to do that, but it's not going to move the dial. I think the next thing we need to take a look at, quite frankly, is countywide zoning. We need to, of course, have our own individual zoning opportunities, but when a developer wants to come in Southwest Michigan, they don't care where Kilgore Road is located. They're looking for a zoning classification that's all consistent. And somehow we got to get on the same page amongst our municipalities for consistent zoning terminology and classifications or a code that blends those together. So if you were developing something in Kalamazoo County, where in all the different municipalities can I build that? And it's a challenge today. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bright?
Well, I think cooperation is important. I'm not a big fan of consolidation. I don't think bigger government is better government. I mean, I've seen what's happened in the federal level. There's a lot of waste. One of the nice things about local government is it's small and it can be efficient and it can also be responsive to the people. But I think there's ways that Kalamazoo and Portage, Texas Township, the surrounding townships, surrounding cities can work together. Economic development is one of them. As Mayor Strazis said, there may be a piece of property in one area that's a fit for somebody coming into town, and it may not be for another. We all win when jobs are created in the area. So I am all about cooperation, but I do not want to make one big countywide government. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Earle.
Yes, for the most part, I'm actually going to agree with Jim on this one, almost everything he said, actually. We've already got in this arena a lot of the low-hanging fruit, and that's not to say the easy ones, but kind of the more obvious ones, the ones that lend themselves well to this type of cooperation. And we do need to give it time to see how they work out before we jump in any other ones, I think. And we'd have to study it to look at other opportunities. There may not be any other ones that make sense, but there probably are. We also have to remember that we're in a lot better shape financially than a lot of our neighboring cities. So in any system of cooperation, there's a good chance Portage ends up putting in more than it gets out. So we need to look at that carefully, make sure we're not hitching ourselves to, you know, they're putting ourselves in a bad situation. But we can continue to look at it and find the things that are common and the other ways that we can cooperate. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ford?
Well, the mayor mentioned that something that happened 10 years ago is now just kind of taking place today. At 34 years young, I'm hopefully going to be around for 10 more years, fingers crossed, so I can help with those. I think cooperation is paramount. We all have mutual problems, and we need to work together to solve those problems. Now, whether that means collaborating or consolidating, I think that's going to be discussed, and that those things take time. You know, the dispatch is just taking off, and hopefully we'll see some of that. I know a lot of other states have very, very few dispatch facilities, only a couple per state, or a couple in the state. You know, so I think eventually maybe the one that we're working on today may be merged with other ones in the future. Transit. You know, I was very supportive to include all of Portage in transit. We are a city of roughly 50,000 people. It's not a rural area like it was in the 60s. So it's important to provide transportation for those who you know, can't drive. So I think in terms of where we start with something small. And, you know, I'm not going to throw out any suggestions of where we start. You know, EMS, we have a separate EMS approach than Kalamazoo, but everybody needs emergency service. It doesn't matter what side of the road you live on, you know, so that might be an area where we can start to work with some of the third parties and try to make sure that we have those avenues covered. That's about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to a special West Southwest on WMUK and a forum for candidates running for Portage City Council and Mayor. Wednesday's forum was held at the Portage District Library and sponsored by the Kalamazoo Gazette. The moderator, Gazette editor Mickey Shikilo, asked a final question of the candidates.
For the next question, we will start with Ms. Randall. In November, city voters will consider a charter amendment that would basically decriminalize small amounts of marijuana. What is your position on that ballot issue?
I believe that local ordinances in our charter should be in compliance with state and federal law. Having said that, I am a cancer survivor, and I know that not all traditional drugs work the same on different people. Chemotherapy has many side effects. Although I'd never tried anything herbal or whatever, many people do, and they do get relief from it. I attended something in Lansing a couple years ago where children with epilepsy were having creams made out of some cannabis, and it was giving them immediate relief. Who am I to judge whether that is right or that is wrong? So, you know, we just got back from 2 weeks in Denver visiting a son out there. It is not rampant. It is not, people aren't using it going up and down the street. You know, here again, I think responsible use for medical is a way of the future or something that I would like to see. So I would like to focus on bigger and more harmful crimes. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Strazdas?
Perhaps this is something that all candidates can agree upon, and I agree 100% with what Patricia said. But the fundamental issue is that we got a letter from the governor and the attorney general indicating that proceed to your election, but it doesn't follow state law. So at the end of the day, obviously our public safety officers are caught between, you know, following state law and trying to administer something that people locally vote on, okay? And so at the end of the day, we need to really get our state elected officials on the same page with municipalities and try to solve this in the state of Michigan once and for all. So our local police officers have state law behind them, because there will be litigation in any community if they try to do something or not do something. Are they following state law, not following state law? And it really is is disingenuous, I think, for those people that are trying to protect us and putting them in a very difficult position to interpret something that's confusing. So at the end of the day, I agree 100% with Patricia's statement. I believe that the state legislature needs to bring this to closure in Michigan, and it's going to be changed. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be different. And we don't know whether the federal government is going to take action on this. So it's difficult and confusing.
Thank you. Mr. Bright?
I do agree that this would be a confusing law. People would think if it were to pass, then it's okay to have less than 1 ounce of marijuana. It would still be illegal on a state and federal level. Now, I've talked to one of the district judges and asked him personally, you know, how is this handled? Well, today, a police officer can write a ticket, and they go before the district judge, And usually they get a fine, they might get a rehabilitation, and probation. And at the end of a year, if they meet all that, then they may have their sentence, or it might be expunged and not be on the record anymore. But so then the policeman has to decide, okay, is this 1 ounce or is it 1 ounce? And do I prosecute this on a local level or do I prosecute it on a state level? So I think it puts our police officers in a really tough position. I think it's, you know, on the other hand, I don't really want to see our jails filled with people who use marijuana recreationally. I don't think that's a great way to go either. But I think this was something that was done to try to legalize marijuana, and I don't know that it will.
Thank you. Mr. Earle.
Yes, I'm certainly not going to tell anybody how to vote on what I would consider a personal issue. But I will say that this is really largely a symbolic initiative, as has been alluded to by some of the other candidates here. We passed this charter amendment. The next day, you can still get arrested in the city of Portage and charged under the state law. Right now, the overwhelming majority of the marijuana arrests are prosecuted under the state law. I believe it was about 75% when I asked the city attorney for the numbers. So it's, again, it's really more of a symbolic thing. The proponents need to address this at the correct level, which is a state level. I realize they are, and it's likely coming. But I do sympathize with what Jeff and Mayor Straz just mentioned about putting our public safety people in a difficult position. So, you know, I'd rather see it done. I think this is the wrong order to do it, but, you know, again, I don't have any personal issues against it. But I just want people to understand, if they cast a vote, what they're getting, which is really just more of a statement to our state legislature saying, this is what we want to see happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ford?
Well, you've heard it from all the other candidates, so I'm not going to mention the legality, but the way the charter amendment's written, it's going to put a section in our charter that's really going to tie the city's hands. And, you know, to convolute our charter, it's our constitution. We want to make sure that we're following it and that, you know, to have a state law or a federal law out there that's contradictory to it, it really doesn't do us as a city any favors. You know, I'm a criminal justice major, and some of the studies on decriminalization efforts have led to some interesting research. Between 1975 and 1985, the state of California saved $1 billion by decriminalizing marijuana. They're not taking people to jail. They're not taking them to court. Their officers aren't sitting in court getting paid overtime. And so there's a lot of savings to just be able to issue a citation to somebody and have them pay a fine. I think that, you know, the cost savings are there. I think that we have a lot of marijuana arrests that outweigh other crimes that the public safety office could be focusing on. And so I'm mixed on this. You know, I don't have any problem with anyone voting personally on how they feel on it. I think from a legal standpoint, it makes our charter a less of a document, and the way it's written really ties council's hands should council want to do something in the future. And so, you know, I can't support the amendment as written, but I definitely support the cause. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Pearson.
It's funny this question is asked because yesterday there was a letter to the editor supporting my candidacy, and it listed a lot of things. And then there was a question, what does Jim Pearson think about marijuana? And so last night I wrote my answer, and it was a two-part, so I'm going to give you an abbreviation. First medical, and then this ballot question. First of all, as a pharmaceutical scientist and clinical researcher for 29 years, I do realize the benefit of medical marijuana. The THC that's in the pill that drug companies like I used to work for produce just doesn't work as well. There are different active ingredients. Cannabis is useful for some indications in Parkinson's disease, HIV wasting, and other things. So first of all, my first hurdle is passed. Medical marijuana is certainly important, and it's probably a lot cheaper than these THC drugs. Now on to the ballot issue. I think we're kind of all in agreement here. Even though if it passes, it's not going to change what police do. It puts them in an awkward position. My feeling on this is medical or marijuana 1 ounce, it's really a social issue question, and Portage City Council usually doesn't take a stand on that. I'm not taking a stand on it. I'm glad it's on the ballot. I want to know what people of Portage think, and when they tell me what they think, that should be a policy that the City Council continues on because it's a vote by the people. Thanks.
Thank you. For our next question, we're going to go to Mr. Straz first. Also in November, all voters in Kalamazoo County will be asked to decide on a proposed new 0.1 mil tax to provide housing assistance for low-income families with children. Do you support this proposed tax?
I think all social issues are something that a countywide or something elected officials should not tell voters in Portage yes or no on any of those, okay? We've always been pretty staunch in that in Portage. We believe that the voters should understand what the issues are, and the voters should make a decision on that. My personal beliefs, quite frankly, are that there are a lot of social organizations that need to step up. We do see that in the Portage Community Center. We see that in this phenomenal church community that we have here in Portage, okay? And I do believe strongly that those social elements, that fabric of our community has stepped up in our community, continues to step up, and I believe those organizations are doing a very good job. They stretched, yes, because of the recession, but I believe that a lot of those social things should be supported from the grassroots, from those organizations that are fundamental to our city, and going back to that fabric of our city, those are the organizations that made the city a great city, and they're still here, always will be here, and those are the organizations that will support a lot of the social activities that we need to have in our community.
Thank you. Mr. Bright?
I think that this millage might sound good, but typically creating a new bureaucracy and a new tax is not the answer to this problem. I'm a huge supporter of charities. I'm the chairman of the advisory board of the Salvation Army in Kalamazoo. I've done work with the Gospel Mission. I also believe Loaves and Fishes and Ministry with the Community, just to name four, do a great job for the homeless people of Kalamazoo County. And I would much rather see people support those organizations freely than having just one more tax, because it's going to start out very small, and they'll say it's only going to cost you a little bit, and then they'll come back and they'll want to increase it a little more and a little more and a little more. And because, unfortunately, homelessness, it's a tragic situation, and I have been around it, and some people are homeless due to mental illness. And passing a millage or a tax isn't going to solve that. So those are other issues, and I think that a lot of the charities that we have, especially the Gospel Mission, do a great job. If somebody needs a hot meal, they can always get one. If they need someplace to sleep in the middle of winter or any time, they can always get it at the Gospel Mission. So I'm not a fan of the tax, but I am a fan of our charities in the community.
Thank you. Mr. Earle.
Yeah, this is another one where passions are high on each side. I'm not necessarily going to say either side is wrong. I understand the aversion people have to taxes, to more taxes. However, this one, as taxes go, is a very low tax. I think I figure out my contribution would be about $10, maybe $15 in a year. And it's very targeted. If you look at it, it's temporary assistance for housing for families of school-age children. And if that's enough to help these kids to get through school successfully, they've got enough other things to worry about, and then maybe those kids can grow up to break the cycle of poverty in their family, that sounds like a good thing. So me personally, I have decided that I can support that myself, and I'm going to cast my vote for it, but I totally understand the other side, and you've got to vote your conscience.
Thank you. Mr. Ford?
You know, Tim hit the nail on the head. This is for the kids. It's for school-age children. And with a little bit of money, we can do a lot. I think that there are great concerns that there are nonprofits and charities in this area that can do a lot and probably have a lot more resources to do a lot more. But like I said, with a little bit, we can do a lot. And I think it's about $5 a year on a $100,000 home, which isn't much. And it's going to go to keep kids in homes. And then when they're in homes, they can do better in school and they can excel in our community. I think that we don't give the county officials that are going to be administering this program enough credit, and our county electeds as well. You know, if we task them with spending our money, we expect them to spend it wisely. And if the event that they don't spend it wisely, we should, you know, consider not voting for the millage the next time. But I think it's worth a try to see what the county can do with these funds, and I will be supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Pearson?
I find myself agreeing with Jeff Bright on this one, and it's probably because both of us are very much involved in charities. I serve as president of Portage Rotary. We are doing constant fundraising for food, for clothing, everything for kids. Homeless, we do all that. And there are a lot of Jeff's involved in different organizations. This is a great county. We have a lot going on, and I agree with Jeff for the same thing. Once you start a new tax, it only goes up. And I think we have wonderful charities here, and I don't think we need to start a new tax that will just keep on going up. I disagree with a new tax, and I was disappointed that the county couldn't figure out something where they could allocate more money in the county budget for the homeless and kids.
Thank you. Ms. Randall?
I'm supposed to say I'm against all new taxes, and I am. But from my heart, I feel that we have a moral obligation to house and provide housing for women and children. I don't know if it was the Pope's visit or what, but social justice is a huge part of my life. My parents have served in Africa, Indian reservations. They have always encouraged us to give a hand up versus a handout. And I have been a member of Catholic Charities for 5 years. I've been on their board. Those organizations are taxed to the hilt. The government funding for charity organizations has greatly diminished, just like everybody else's budget. We have the ARC, which is for children, 12 to 17. We have the cottages, but they're only 8 units. Those are for 17 to 23. We have shelters for unwed mothers that want to carry their pregnancy. It's not enough. I don't understand how we can be so pro the school millages and new school buildings if these children come from places where they don't even have a place to sleep or know where they're going to sleep. Yes, I'm against all increasing of taxes. I feel that there's so much bureaucracy and government waste. But morally, I feel that we do have an obligation to the poorest of our poor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Candidate Forum for Portage City Council and Mayor was sponsored by the Kalamazoo Gazette. It was held last Wednesday at the Portage District Library. Due to time constraints, we are not able to bring you the candidates' closing statements on air, but they can be found at WMUK.org. 3 candidates will be elected to the Portage City Council to serve 4-year terms. Pete Strazdis is running unopposed for another 2-year term as mayor. Election Day is November 3rd. On Thursday's West Southwest, we'll get a preview of the election for Battle Creek City Commission from Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.